Today is World Communion Sunday. In churches around the world, the life and death of Jesus Christ is being celebrated in the sharing of bread and wine. Our own community includes members from different parts of God's world. And we greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. In English, we say, people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places in the kingdom of God.
In the Zambian Bemba language, we say, Kawili abantu bakafuma kukabanga na kumasamba, na kukapinda kakuso na kukapinda kakulio, wakeka la nokulia pete ulo muvufu mubwa kwa lesa.
In Greece, we say, Ke ixuthin apo anatolon, Ke dithmon apo fora, Ke notu ke anaklithithode enti vasileia tu theo.
In Switzerland, we say in German, Und es werden kommen von morgen und von Abend, von Mitternacht und von Mittage, die zu Tische sitzen werden im Reich Gottes. And in French we say, il en viendra de l'Orient et de l'Occident, du Nord et du Midi. Et ils se mettront à table dans le royaume de Dieu.
In Guatemala we say, y vendrán del Oriente y del Occidente, del Norte y del Sur, y se sentarán a la mesa en el reino de Dios.
Let us lift up our hearts and together worship God.
Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." The word of the Lord.
Our reading continues in the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel and at verse 2, Mark chapter 9 and at verse 2. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He didn't know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us bow before God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, who with a word brought creation into being and order out of chaos, speak to us now, a life-giving word, through Jesus Christ and by the power of your Spirit, even through the fallible words that are proclaimed. Come and renew our lives for our sake and for your glory. Grant us ears to hear and listen. Amen. In our sermons this fall, we're thinking together about some of the words and phrases that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke when he lived here on earth. Today we come to some very brief words that Jesus used at the conclusion of some of his stories that we call parables. He would turn to the crowd after he had spoken his parables, shared his message, and he would say something like this: "Let those who have ears to hear listen." These are words which are actually reinforced by God himself. In the second story that we read in our scripture reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, when Jesus and three of his closest disciples leave the rest of the gang, Peter, James, and John go with Jesus up a mountain together. And when they arrive at the top, Jesus is suddenly changed. We use the word transfigured. It was as if his human side melted away, and all that they could see was his glory. He was absolutely radiant. And as this was happening, two strangers suddenly appeared, and we're told that they were Moses and Elijah. And as if this was not overwhelming enough, God's voice booms out. When anything comes from a cloud in the scripture, it's coming from God. The cloud is a symbol of God's presence. God's voice booms out from the cloud. "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen. Listening, of course, is a critical component of all of life. It lies at the base, for example, of so much of our processes of learning, information, or skills. So much is learned by listening, not by listening by itself, of course. The other senses are important as well. We watch and we touch and we experiment with our hands, with our bodies. We do things, but listening is a critical part. We touch, we learn. We watch, we learn. We do, we learn. But without listening, learning is really not the same. Colleges, of course, know this perhaps more than any other place. Dartmouth College produced a piece of literature a few years ago focusing not on all of the different ways of learning, of which there are many, but focusing in particular on listening. Most college learning comes, of course, from some kind of a lecture or a format between a teacher and students. So perhaps this is not surprising, but what Dartmouth College Learning Center wrote was this: you can learn a lot through listening. In college, it will be a prime source of information. Unfortunately, people do not instinctively listen well. Quite the reverse. Listening is a skill which must be developed. If you apply the following 8 suggestions, you will find yourself listening more effectively, both in class and out. They get the picture. Listening is critical if we're going to grow in our knowledge, our information, as well as our skills. But it's critical not only in terms of that kind of learning, it's critical as well in terms of our learning to get on with one another, the building up of our relationships with other people. When somebody is listening to us, we can feel it. I know I can. I think you can as well. And almost instinctively, when we are in that situation and that listening is occurring and we feel that, we say to ourselves, this is a person I want to know. They seem to care about me. They're really hearing me. They are really listening. Sadly, of course, the opposite is true as well. When somebody is listening, but they're not really listening, we tend to pick up on that as well. They're listening, but they're not hearing us. Somehow, there is no connection. The connection is missing. And sometimes we want to get out of that kind of a relationship as quickly as possible. It hurts. And sometimes when we can't escape it, we scream. Sometimes internally, sometimes out loud. Just hear me. Listen to me. Listen in a way that conveys to me that you care. And listening has that power. It's not easy, though. Dartmouth realized that, writes this sheet of instructions for its students. When it comes to learning stuff, it's not easy. And I think it's even harder when it comes to listening in terms of relationships. We get distracted so easily, caught up in our own little world, in our own business, the things that need to be done. It can be really hard to leave our world and enter the world of somebody else, which is critical to have happen, if in fact listening is to be powerful and deep. Herbert Lindgren of the University of Nebraska points this out when he says there's no real communication. We'll just keep passing each other like ships in the night if we don't somehow enter into the world of somebody else, lift ourselves out of our world and place ourselves into their world. He puts it like this. He says, I speak because I know my needs. I speak with hesitation because I do not know yours. My words come from my life's experiences. Your understanding comes from yours. Because of this, what I say and what you hear may not be the same. So if you will listen carefully, not only with your ears, but with your eyes and with your heart, maybe somehow we can communicate, bridge the gulf, connect in a way that is meaningful and deep, and that conveys caring. Not easy, but very important, learning stuff and building relationships, even when our motive is not necessarily absolutely pure. It's important as well. Important, for example, in terms of connections to be made in the world of business. Some of you may know, most of us probably don't, the name of Joe Girard. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's greatest salesman. And I can believe it. For a period of some 15 years, from 1963 to 1978, he sold almost 17 cars a week. It's an unbelievable number of cars to sell, 17 cars a week. He says he did it because he actually cared for his customers, and he showed that caring by learning to listen. He says he learned this the hard way. So this is his story as to how that happened. He says, I can remember a very specific instance early in my career when I failed to listen and reap the consequences. A well-known contractor named Dominic came in to see me one day to buy a top-of-the-line car. After going through all the steps with him, including a demo ride, I handed him the pen to sign the purchase agreement. He balked, politely excused himself, and left. I couldn't figure out what happened. How did I blow the sale? I asked myself, what went wrong? Later that evening, when I reviewed the day, I could only think about that failure. And finally, when I couldn't stand it any longer, I picked up the phone and I called him. I told him that if I was to become a better salesman than I had been that afternoon, I needed to know what I did or said that made him leave without buying. So I asked him, Dominic, would you tell me what I did that was wrong? He said, you're serious, aren't you? I said, you bet I am. He said, all right, are you listening now? He said bluntly. I replied, I'm all ears. And then he said this, well, you weren't this afternoon. Then he proceeded to tell me that he had just made up his mind to buy from me during the afternoon, when in a moment of final hesitation, a random thought entered his head, and he started to tell me how proud he was of his son, Jimmy, who was studying to be a doctor. It had nothing to do with the selling of the car at all. As he mentioned this, I realized that I couldn't remember him saying anything at all about his son. I was obviously not focused, not listening to him, but intent on getting my sale. He went on to say that it was as though now that I had this sale clinched, or thought I had, as though I didn't need to show any interest in anything he had to say anymore, not even something that was dear to his heart. In his mind, in a moment, he went from being a customer, a person with a life, to just a guy with a checkbook who existed merely for my gain, says Joe. And Dominic said he didn't like that feeling at all. Nor did Joe, fortunately, in this particular case. So he taught himself, and you can, both to care. You can learn to care. And he taught himself to care and to show that caring by learning to listen. And when he did, to everyone who walked into him, he said things began to change dramatically. Listening. That's how God, of course, wants it to be in our relationship with him as well. The God of Scripture is a God who speaks. If you want to know what God is like, turn to the opening pages of the Scripture and we learn not only that God is Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, but this Creator God, this Almighty God, is a God who speaks. It's almost the very first thing you learn about God in the whole of the Bible. In the first chapter of Genesis, God speaks and remarkable things begin to happen. Let there be light, says God, and there is light. And creation comes into being, and one thing happens after another, and order comes out of chaos. This word from God, emanating from God, is filled with power and life and creativity. And so from day one, the primary act of worship in both Judaism and in Christianity, the act by which we acknowledge that God is God and we are not, that says more about understanding that relationship than just about anything else, that we owe our very life and existence to God. We didn't create ourselves, but somebody else said something that brought us life. The primary act of worship is listening. If God speaks and there's power in the word, then our role is to be silent and to listen. Not alone, there's more to follow, but as the primary act. It's an act not only by which we learn the will of God, the path of God, what God is doing in heaven that he wants to be done on earth, but it's the primary act by which our lives are bound together with God's life in a relationship that nothing can sever, through which we learn that God really does know us and love us, and through which perhaps also we will come to learn that we, no matter how falteringly, love God too. An act of silence, doing nothing in a busy world, just being nothing but giving our heart and soul and mind and strength to listening for this word from God, for God to speak in whatever way God chooses. Sometimes we listen best, of course, when we're by ourselves and we're just out in the world of nature. For those who live in the city, there are many things that be gained by living in the city, many benefits of city life, but there are also many things that we lose. And one of the great losses, I think, is the loss, most of the time, not all of the time, of the magnificence of the sky at night, because there are so many lights around about us. We simply do not see the magnificence of the sky at night, the plethora of stars that are out there, the depth and the breadth of God's creation. When it's dark, though, you see it. And the psalmists, especially in writing in Scripture, saw it. And they called it the glory of God, the overflow of the being of God into everything that God has made. As if through what God had made, God was speaking, God's silent proclamation, God's book, God's word, an invitation offered to us in what God has made to awe and to wonder, and beyond that as well, to explore. Indeed, Rodney Stark, longtime professor of sociology at the University of Washington, argues, and there are many others, I think, who would argue this as well, that science rose to prominence, especially in the West, in what we would call Christendom, not despite biblical faith, but because of it. Because at the core of our faith, at the beginning of our faith, there is this understanding that there is a rational, personal God who makes everything that we see. And if it's rational and personal, then we can explore it, and in exploring it, begin to think God's thoughts after him. Listening to God through the material stuff of life that has been created by God. So often we begin listening to God through nature and become awakened to the importance of this listening. But of course, our listening must not stop there. For the first Christians, at least, listening was very much linked to their belief that God had spoken even more clearly through people, through prophets, and through one prophet in particular, the one we worship and adore, our Lord Jesus Christ. So we come back to that story where Jesus heads off with those three disciples up the mountain. And there on the mountain, when Jesus is transfigured, there is this roar from heaven. And the voice of God speaks. And the voice doesn't just say, "Listen to me, pay attention to me." The voice from heaven says, "Listen to him. He's my beloved. He's my son. He is, in a sense, my voice, my word," and John's gospel will spell this out, "my word for you to listen to here on earth." And those disciples did, not perfectly. Listening is hard. Dartmouth College knows that. For learning, it's hard. For building relationships, it's hard. And Jesus knows it too. In our reading in Mark chapter 4, one of the main points of Jesus' story in what we call the parable of the sower is simply to remind us that listening is hard. There are a number of different lessons that can emerge from this particular story. But one of the things that Jesus is saying is that despite the hardness of listening, hang in there and you will find that it will bear fruit in the end. Sometimes listening is like a farmer going into a field and sowing a seed, and the bird comes along and picks up the seed, and nothing happens. We hear something, we want to listen, we want to hear, goes in one ear, out the other, and it's gone, and it's on its way, and we don't know what happened to it. I suspect that may happen to some people today after this sermon. It will go in one ear and out the other. And then sometimes we have an intention. We say, oh, I really did hear something that was important, and I'm going to hold on to this, and my life is going to change. But then life is a way of moving on. We get busy. Things happen. Other voices come in and distract us. Jesus says it's like the seed which is scorched by the sun or that's overwhelmed by the weeds around about it. Good intentions we have, but then it comes to nothing. But, he says, if you keep on listening, and that's the thrust of what Jesus is saying when he says listen, it's keep on listening, you will find that that seed, like the Word of God, will find a place within your life in which it will bear fruit, as in a farmer's field, the scattered seed in time will eventually lead to the harvest. And if you wait long enough, it'll come, it'll change things, it'll nourish you until you grow and become more and more the person God wants you to be. Just listen, says Jesus, as long as you've got ears to hear, however hard it may be, keep listening. And those first disciples, thank God, however hard it was for them, however imperfectly they listened, they did it to his word in Scripture, to his word in preaching, and to his word in the silence of the bread and the cup that we will share in just a moment. If you've ears to hear, he will speak. And through that speech, will transform our lives and the life of our congregation. Through listening, we learn. There's stuff to learn about God, his will, his way. Through listening, we grow in our relationship with him. A bond takes place through listening that nothing can sever. And through listening, we participate in that primary act of worship, fundamental to all of life, where we know that God is the creator and we are not, but we are made in his image to connect with God. God speaks, and our calling and our blessedness lies in listening. May God give us ears to hear. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, fill our minds with all the relationships of life of which we are a part, as well as our relationship with you, and the lessons in life that have transformed us because we did listen and we learned. And help us, by the power of your Spirit, to commit ourselves again to listen to you, who remarkably chooses to speak to us. Amen.
And now, having been filled with the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, turn and share that peace with your neighbor, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you."